Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, we have a great guest, John Acara, and he is the CEO of SmoothStack, and I've heard some major other startups and things going on, but I want to welcome today, first of all. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Chris.
And I want you to give your background. Tell about all these different things you've been involved with and how you got to the point where you're bringing SmoothStack online.
Sure. So my background is actually in the financial services space. I came to the U.S. For an undergrad degree, played D1 tennis, graduated and got into investment banking. Went further, was in the hedge fund industry for a while, exited out of a hedge fund called Silver Point Capital, was looking for something different to do in my life, was looking to make more social impact at the same time, further and pursue opportunities that made, you know, changes in the environment and the country as a whole. So I got into investing in a lot of startups. I'm currently involved with an organization called SmoothStack. I'm the CEO. We're a workforce channel development organization trying to act and impacting, identifying good talent and furthering them.
So you said you came to the United States. Where do you originally hail from?
So I'm from India. So I came from New Delhi, India.
Okay. I didn't quite hear that. You've really adapted the accent.
I've embraced America. I came here seeking opportunity, and this country's been great to me.
Yeah, that's good. So you have a couple other companies that you're involved with, too?
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit about those and maybe the progression of how you be. It sounds like you're a serial entrepreneur type, right?
Sure. So I have a health IT organization called KC Tech. I also have a staffing and solutions organization called Gold Coast. And through that journey specifically, I recognized that traditional hiring from a staffing perspective was broken. And that's how I got the idea to start SmoothStack. And the rest is history.
Awesome. So we want to dig into that in depth, because I know that, you know, workforce development and the skills gap is on the front line of everything in cybersecurity. We talk about it almost on every show, and everybody has a reason why and some stats, and but it still doesn't seem to change. So I think the approach that you're gonna tell us is something that might change that. So give us 30 seconds on, you know, this is what is wrong and why the skills gap still exists after everybody talking about it for 5 years.
So if you think about it, you got to take a step back and kind of understand the IT space, right? Technologies today are changing, and its space is very dynamic. Technologies that were relevant 2 years ago are no longer relevant in the industry today. And if you think of hiring, everyone's looking at the same pool of talent. So if you look at traditional hiring, you, and let's say you're an employer, either you have an internal recruiting arm or you go to an external supplier, who are all going out into the marketplace and looking for talent within that same pool that's available at that moment of time. And with technology changing so fast, it's not relevant, because you don't have as many people with these exposure to these nascent technologies. So what we are doing is we took a different spin at it. We partner with employers, understand their technology needs, and really identify smart, bright talent that has the aptitude in technology and also has strong technology skills, and really retooling them and aligning them and exposing them to these nascent technologies and creating a new pool of talent. And while doing that, we're trying to mitigate and remove all types of biases that happen in traditional hiring, and at the same time, further talent based on merit. So I think the first part of this evolution in technology was the advent of boot camps that came, but boot camps were really a pay-to-play model where access was purely dependent on your ability to pay and join the boot camp. So the quality coming out of them was inferior or really poor. And what we decided to do was take that whole piece or that impediment to access away and use AI and data science to identify the best talent available. And then purely on merit and at no cost to these individuals, retool them.
All right, let's take a break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back to unpack that.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking to John Acra about retooling the workforce and providing some unique, say, approaches to that skills gap in cybersecurity. So first of all, my Fortran background in COBOL, I've been looking to get a job in that area for a while. Can you help me out?
Well, COBOL is a very old mainframe legacy technology, but you'd be surprised. There's actually a huge shortage in COBOL, and IBM is making big efforts now to A, interest upcoming talent and build their skills in COBOL to maintain those practices from a mainframe perspective.
Well, yeah, that was kind of a shout out. I wasn't really interested in that, but we're talking about this skills gap and bringing people in that might be talented. We know they've been able to do something in the past, right? But they might not be up on that skill. And I think you hit the mark. And when you start talking about boot camps, and I've seen so many people running, okay, we're going to boot camp you to get for a week or 2 weeks to train you on this new technology, right? And then, like you said, you know, a year later, that technology's moved on to the next one, and we need another boot camp. So tell us about that that approach and what the gaps are with boot camps.
I think the inherent flaw, two things, right? One is obviously, which we talked about, is the access to opportunity, which is A, you got to pay to be part of it. But secondly, they're not outcome centric. And what I mean by that is, end of the day, you know, I can disseminate a lot of information, but if I don't really care about the outcome of whether you get a job after this or you're successful with that job, then I feel like a lot of the training was really irrelevant, right? So what we do here is we really care about the outcomes because A, we're making that investment into the talent. Mm-hmm. And second, we have an apprenticeship model where we're looking A, not only for you to get a job or get you deployed into one of our projects, but actually see you succeed and grow over a period of time. And that's another piece from a social impact perspective. If you think about, if 40% of the folks that are coming out of our computer science degrees today are underemployed and unemployed, and a large bulk of them are people from poor socioeconomic backgrounds, that's a key issue and that impacts them, right? It's not only that access to the job or opportunity for them, but also to create that support system to help folks that are first in their families to graduate, go to college, or really get a white collar job to actually succeed and do well over a period of time.
Interesting. So I've heard many people talk about the apprenticeship part, but I think I'm kind of understanding when you say it, it's like we're looking for matching the company that will hire somebody, the person that's underemployed, and then not trying to train them up front, but finding then the skill sets that they need for that company. So there's a kind of a three-way match that has to be done there, right?
Absolutely. It's like trying to make it a symbiotic fit for all parties involved and really to invest to build future leaders for these organizations that are willing to invest and help these people come through and build their careers at these places.
Okay, let's unpack that a little bit. If we're talking to, first of all, the companies that are gonna need talent, right? How do you work? You know, you say I want to get a company to come on board. They have to commit to bringing in this program. Probably there's some funding involved with that. What do you say to them?
So this is where it's really interesting, right? We are carrying and bearing the whole burden of this process up front. So an employer partner that comes on really just specifies what their technology needs are. We are identifying the talent. We are the ones building it and retooling and upskilling the talent through that journey. What we're really helping employers do is make hiring decisions based on, not based on one or two interactions, right? So if you think of traditional hiring, you, especially in IT, you might have a coding assessment and then you might have another interview and then you make a decision. Mm-hmm. The problem with this type of model is a lot of biases come into this type of hiring, right? And it's unfortunate, it's not on purpose, but think of biases like experience bias, education bias, or an affinity bias where we tend to hire people that look like or talk like us, right? And what we are doing is we're giving you access to a body of work in an individual's development through our training program and using AI and data science to stack rank them against their peers and people in the industry. So if I have a cohort of 10 people, I can show you how person A or B stack ranks against everyone else in that peer group, but also with someone else in the industry to show equivalence of what their skills truly determine or showcase. In the sense, if you got someone's resume today, you look at their resume, you can't really tell based on their resume how successful they were in those projects, what were their true responsibilities, right? And the industry is full of people with exaggerated enhanced resumes, which truly don't correlate to their exact absolute skills. Through our model, you're making an educated decision in regards to what that person is able to do, capable of doing, and how his or her experience stack ranks against someone in the industry. So I could have someone who just went through my program, but they could equate to someone with 3 years of industry experience based on their inherent skills and how their skills have developed.
Interesting. That sounds almost like a test that everybody's been looking for. How do you get that assessment? Is it a test? Is it a looking through their past history? What do you do to make that evaluation?
So it's a lot of things. Some of it is obviously proprietary, but we use a lot of AI and data science to filter out people that apply to our program. We've got about 7,000 to 8,000 people applying to our program on a month-to-month basis. Obviously, since it's at no cost to an individual, and there's a huge value add to them, we've got a lot of people applying. Mm-hmm. So we're filtering a lot of people there. So for every 100 people that apply to a program, only about 12% actually get accepted in. And then there's a lot of vetting that goes in through the process of their development through the next 14 to 16 weeks while they're with us. And a lot of this is also in participation with our employer partners. We're using a lot of their own contributions and the cooperation to collaborate on while building this talent.
So do you test them? Is it like a bubble test they do or something else?
So good question. So we are testing them for every line of code that they write up front. And then during the process, there's a lot of peer-to-peer code reviews. We have a lot of, we're mirroring and putting them in a real-world agile Scrum environment. And they're actually performing in a real-time project while they're learning. So there's a lot of vetting that's happening separate to just an individual test.
Interesting. So are those real-time projects then benefiting the company that would hire them, or benefiting something you're doing?
So we have basically created simulated projects. So the true value is just really in the development of the resource. And the whole purpose of that is really to identify and create opportunities and avenues for their growth rather than impacting their end employer partner, because we're still building their technology skills and the stack. So by the time they finish our training, they can land on the ground running, and also have, so a lot of our employers like to bring on a whole cohort. So it gives you a lot of value, right? One, when someone starts, you're mitigating that ramp up time that's required to get them familiar with all your specific technologies and frameworks that you're using in your specific project or company. but also you also have the value of people who have worked together collectively as a team and already have built those synergies while working together.
Interesting. So we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. When we come back, I want to unpack a little bit what it is that the job seeker is going to be doing, how much time commitment they're going to be having, things like that. You know, they want to know, you know, if I get involved with this, am I spending 6 months up front before I get into my great job? We'll be right back. Back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking to John Acra, the CEO of a new concept in cyber workforce development, is what I see it as, SmoothStack. So before the break, we were talking about what this means to companies and how you have a process of bringing them talented, and we'll call it talent instead of educated, because you're actually assessing the talent level that they're going to get and the ability for somebody to adapt to maybe even any technology and come in and do the work for them. But now you have a pipeline of people coming in. You have people come starting already. I guess you have a bench sitting there. You have people working on it. What kind of if I wanted to join your program as a job seeker, what kind of a time commitment am I looking at?
You're looking for about a 14 to 16 week commitment in regards to training and development. In most cases, we already partner with our employer partners. We already have specific opportunities where we plug and put these folks into. So we're doing a lot of vetting upfront. And once they're done with the training, they go through another 2 to 3 week of deployment process. A lot of times, a lot of our projects are federal. So people also need clearances. And depending on the type of clearance, that might change the time required to onboard. But you're within 2 weeks, a full-time employee of SmoothStack. And from at that point on, you're an employee and you're making a salary.
So you're being paid by SmoothStack while you're doing this?
That's correct.
Interesting. So is it, and it's an apprenticeship type training, right, program. That usually apprenticeship, you get paid a lot less or a little bit less than a full-time person at the same job. Is that the case? I mean, what can they expect to see from this? Can it make ends meet for them? I don't know, just give me some, I don't need to know numbers, but maybe percentages of what they can see.
So, and this is where it's interesting, right? So that's why I call ours a modern apprenticeship. So traditionally, when people think of apprenticeships, they think of learning on the job, but at the same time, getting a pay that's much more subsidized against what the market rate is. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to share with you, like, our folks year one are making $55,000 and year two, $65,000 plus benefits.
Okay.
So which is at market or above in most states.
Interesting. So now how do you recoup that if you've paid them for a year and to work on internal projects or training?
So our internal training is only like 3 to 4 months, right? So it's really like a 12 to 16 month period of training. But post that, they have a 2 year apprenticeship where they're actually working on our client projects. So just wanted to clarify that. And the way we monetize this is really like we're contracting these folks to our clients. Mm-hmm. And that's how the monetization works.
Interesting. Okay. So it is almost like a placement company where they work for you, but they're getting training for a specific company and then moving into that company during the process of this, right?
Correct, to some extent.
Okay. So is there a commitment they have to sign on for, like a contract with you, that they say, we're going to get this training, get into a job, but we're going to keep, even though $55,000 might be a little bit less than the market, we're going to work for you for 3 years or something? Is it something like that?
So just to clarify, I think 55 for year one is at market or actually higher in most states. And yes, there's a two-year commitment as part of our apprenticeship. And that's because we don't really only care about deploying an individual. What we really care about is how their career shapes and develops over a two-year period of time. And we collaborate with our employer partners in being able to do that. So for me, the final outcome is not A, getting someone a job, because pretty much at week two with us, you're hired, right? So you're an employee of ours. What I really care about is how your career shapes and grows over a period of time. I'm looking to invest and develop future leaders for this country.
Okay. So now if you had this talk, let's talk to those people that might be interested in joining your program, you know, coming into this type of a workforce development or the smooth stack. Who are you looking for? Who should jump onto this?
I'm looking for the brightest and the greatest all over our country. There's so much talent in our country. It's unbelievable. And it's unfortunate that, but the way traditional hiring is set up, a lot of good talent is being overlooked and really passed on. I'm looking to hire all those hidden gems out there that are looking to work hard, have the aptitude, and want to build their technical skills and really make an impact and contribution to the technology industry.
Interesting. Now, can I come into this and not make it? Is it is there a weed out process?
Absolutely. So while we're technology and, you know, university degree agnostic, right, there's obviously a lot of vetting that goes in. As I shared earlier, only 12% of the people that apply to our program actually get filtered through and get invited to our program. Mm-hmm. So there's already 88% that don't make the cut. And the reason is because we're really looking for the best of talent. And we wanted to create a situation where there were no barriers for people to move through our process in regards to, it doesn't matter, you know, where you come from, who you know, or your ability to pay, we will invest in you. So yes, there's a lot of vetting that happens. Start to finish, only about 8% of the people finally make it through our program.
Okay. So who are you talking to right now? Who do you want in your program? Computer scientists, IT people, security? What's your call out tour?
So we target diverse channels. It really doesn't matter whether you went to college or not. What I really care about is strong technical skills. There's a lot of folks who have built them on their own by working on projects, doing their own development work. Or there's obviously people who went to college, have degrees, transitioning military, people who come with relevant work experience that have the skills and the aptitude. I mean, you name it, we're open. We have a very open mind, as long as people, you know, have the inherent skills and are willing to work hard and build their skill set.
High school students, somebody that might not have even started college?
We're actually in the process of building a pre-apprenticeship process. And this is also very important, because if you think about it, people pursue opportunities based on people in their communities or their role models. And one of the biggest challenges with impacting minority communities is a lot of folks that are first in the family to go to college might not have a lot of positive role models that come from the IT industry. So it's really important. And we are trying to build programs today that expose students in these communities, in high schools, with just technology in general. So it piques their interest to develop interest and actually pursue opportunities in IT.
So are you partnering with like schools, school districts, high school, colleges?
Not with schools and school districts today, but that's something we definitely want to do. One of the things that we've been thinking of is making a part of our program, our apprenticeship, also being a giving back aspect, where people that are in our program actually go to high schools or, like, you know, step below for where they are at and really help expose and, you know, create interest in the IT space, almost like a mini internship with a mentoring aspect that's driven by folks, our smooth stackers that are in our programs today.
Okay. And it sounds like, I mean, there's a lot of, I know even the president just signed something here in the last couple of months about the the skills-based hiring. Skills-based hiring, and I know apprenticeships was big on that, and a lot of states are working that. Is there an alignment you're making with those initiatives from the federal government or any local governments to incentivize this?
Absolutely. In regards to employer partners, the state of Connecticut, for example, is a partner of ours, and we actually have people today working in the Microsoft Dynamics space with them, so it's a perfect example of skills-based hiring that's actually come into execution and is working really well in the state and local level. And even at the federal level, we work with several integrators who are actually deploying projects and executing projects at the federal level.
Now, I heard you say a lot of times federal and people in the United States. International, are you engaging this worldwide, or is it a local focus at first?
It's a local focus for today. And that's another reason, right? People always talk about a lot of jobs in IT going to foreign talent. Our focus here is really to develop the talent that we have in our country and further it to the best of its abilities.
Okay. And you have a big rollout coming here soon, right? So tell us about what you have upcoming, when, how people can start to get involved, if it's a getting involved ahead of time, or is it, after this event? Tell us what your schedule looks like.
So we've got several programs that are in execution today and several others that are coming on. In regards to technologies, we've got programs in Salesforce, Dynamics, Java, Cloud, DevOps, SDET. We're also a Department of Labor certified apprenticeship now, and we're furthering the apprenticeship and really creating the idea of a modern apprenticeship where it's the win for all parties involved.
Modern apprenticeship. I like that. And nationwide, specific areas, what's your biggest need for talent right now?
It's unbelievable. We've got, even in this COVID environment, we've got a lot of needs. Our footprint is national. We've got opportunities all over the country. And if your talent, doesn't matter where you're living, you could be in a small city, you could be in a big city. If you are interested in making a career in IT, we've got opportunities for you. I would say apply.
Okay. So now, put out for our audience, if they're an employer, how do they get in touch with you? If they're a job seeker, how do they get in touch with you? How do they begin this process on both sides?
I would say go to our website, www.smoothstack.com. We've got an employer section. We've got an applicant section. Depending on where you're coming from, what your needs are, go specifically. If you want to email us, it's info@smoothstack.com.
Awesome. And I like the SmoothStack name. It sounds like we're grooving again, right? Well, thanks so much for joining today, John. It's been great to hear that there's some movers and shakers in this kind of new area of focus that the government's having. It sounds like you're well ahead of the thought process on that and really have a good plan here. So thanks for everything you're doing, and we'll hope to have you back and hear about some success in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me over.
Sure. Have a great day.
Do.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.